play back cow. This is the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Welcome to Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
I'm Funky. I'm Fred.
Hi, the Powerpuff Girls. Hi.
Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Greetings, Toonheads. It's your weenie roasting host, B-Dubs. And this is Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast dedicated to all things animation from the 1990s and early 2000s. Today, we're going to sit back and relax with another episode review after all that heavy editing I did for the previous three topics. I've decided to kick back and roast some weenies for a barbecue because I got friends coming over and they're hungry. Though it looks like this discount pack of ballpark Hebrew Frankfurters are looking a bit, shall I say, unsightly? Ugh. Maybe these came from Kitchen Casanova's pantry. Gross. Perhaps the guests will enjoy some burgers for my summer cookout instead. But before we satisfy our appetites, let's talk about meat some more. Not just weenies, but cow and chicken too. I perused Cow and Chicken's episode lineup, and apparently they have a whole theatrical production centered around a misunderstood hot dog named the Ugliest Weenie. So why don't we dive in to see what the ruckus is all about? Grab your condiments and plates. We're about to take a bite out of this rare two-part episode. So here's the episode info for you in case you want to look it up for yourself. The air date of The Ugliest Weenie is August 12th, 1997 from Season 1, Episode 5A and C, which is the first two-parter of the series. In case you're wondering, the B part is an I Am Weasel short called I Am Star. The story is by Bill Burnett, and the storyboard is by Monte Young, and is directed by David Feiss and Monte Young. Let's get into the meat of the episode topic. It's a brand new day with the sun shining high above the household one morning where we see Cow's derriere sticking out of her bedroom door as she finishes putting the final touches on her play. She's so overjoyed about its completion that she dances her way out of her room and slips on her Krabs the Warthog doll, causing her to tumble down the stairs while her script written in a pink book wallops Chicken hard on the noggin. Cow peels Chicken off her rump, and Chicken immediately mocks her latest creation without even reading it. Things quickly escalate to a game of cat and mouse over control of the pink book, and Cow chases Chicken out of the house over to school. Once here, Chicken spills the beans on Cow's play to his buddies Flem and Earl to further mock the play, much to Cow's dismay. In an unexpected turn of events, the drama teacher, Mr. Fleur, overhears Cow's poetic words and begins sobbing on the floor along with her, stating how her play is brilliant and needs to be turned into the next school production immediately.
That is the most beautiful sentiment I've ever heard.
What insight.
What sensitivity.
What panache.
A crowd of kids lend their applause, and Flem kicks Chicken into Mr. Fleur's arms. Inadvertently, the excited teacher selects Chicken to play the star role as the Ugliest Weenie. Naturally, Chicken is horrified, and he bursts through the school doors and runs back home to run away from home, threatened by his worst nightmare coming true.
What you doing?
I'm running away from home. I do not want to be no stupid, ugly weenie.
I'll tell Mr. Fleur it was you squirted super glue on the seats in the teacher's bathroom.
Cow returns home to try and reason with Chicken to stay. But he insists on leaving while packing his backpack with his belongings, including some random eagle trophy. Cow then throws a curveball at Chicken by introducing him to the lovely Wee Wee, a red-haired French girl who's just been cast as the love interest to the star character of Cow's play. Though her outfit makes her look more Irish than French, she nonetheless gives off some serious Jessica Rabbit vibes. Chicken reconsiders, but instead opts to be a part of the stage crew instead of the star role. We cut back to the auditorium after school to see Mr. Fleur gather everyone to rehearse the play one more time. Chicken readies the giant hand on a rope and pulley backstage, and the first song begins as the curtain reveals eight students too tightly packed inside of a weenie package to move as one cohesive unit. If you look closely, you can see Earl in the lower left corner of that package. Chicken lowers the giant hand to remove the hot dog packaging, and the stack of students collapse in on themselves while singing their lyrics. For some reason, the rehearsal is interrupted when Chicken spots Wee Wee getting a little too handsy with Lem, who is basking in his infatuation with the love interest of the play. Cal explains to Chicken that since he took the backstage position, she had to find another star and chose his friend Flem to take over for him. Enraged by jealousy, Chicken drops the giant stagehand onto the weenie dressed students. Mr. Fleur rescues the students while reminding Chicken to be more careful, to which Chicken sarcastically replies he's got a grip on things. Mr. Fleur then instructs Wee Wee and Flem to really sell it with their performance for the scene where the giant hand picks the ugliest weenie. The duo rehearse their lines decent enough, but Mr. Fleur demands even more passion than what they're giving. Chicken continues his rampage by loosing a knot holding up a giant wooden banana from the background, causing it to ram into Mr. Fleur and catapulting him off stage into the house seats. Mr. Fleur returns to the stage with bandages and crutches from out of nowhere to set the story straight with all the actors. But once he instructs Flem how to pirouette, Chicken triggers a trapdoor, sending him down below stage instead of his friend turned nemesis.
Say goodbye, Flem!
Weenie, pirouette on your left foot, like this.
Sorry, Mr. Fleur.
While everyone is preoccupied with Mr. Fleur's dramatic exit, the red guy of all people steps in to inform the viewer that time is up, and he may threaten to occupy our time with more commercials instead of the concluding part to this story. That is the end of part one.
Maybe we'll fill the time up with
even more commercials!
When we resume for part two, we see the red guy tumble up to the viewer on a desert landscape and bring us up to speed of what's happening in the play, in case we miss part one. Then an audience member off stage questions why the red guy's here and why he mentions the concluding half of the story as part three instead of part two. The red guy signals his removal off stage, and the story resumes.
Now, where were we?
We then cross-dissolve to the auditorium that night, packed with parents, as the cast eagerly awaits their final instructions before the show begins. Mr. Fleur informs the cast that Chicken's buddy Flem has suddenly become ill due to the chickenpox, giving Chicken a ray of hope to take over the role for him. He eagerly volunteers, imagining he'll finally get to kiss Wee Wee. Mr. Fleur then announces that Chicken's eye of affection also came down with the chicken pox, and now Cal will be taking over for her. Looks like Chicken can't catch a break. Chicken's jaw drops, but as they say, the show must go on. The production opens with Mr. Fleur raising the giant hand to remove the kids' weenie package as they sing and march around the stage right on cue. Mom and Dad spots Chicken in his new role with great excitement, too. Rather than explain everything happening in this next scene, which is mostly singing and dancing for the play, I'll just play a clip of the song so that you can see what's going on. It's quite a catchy tune.
Nobody likes me, nobody wants me around.
They don't want him around.
Before they pick me up, they put me down.
Nobody wants him around.
You take one look at me and you turn into a meanie. Cause I'm the ugliest weenie.
Cal then interjects to show her support for the ugliest weenie, albeit a little bit clumsily. In efforts to help the ugliest weenie be chosen by the giant hand, she pumps him up with air to make him look more plump and desirable. The unseen character of the hand then picks up the ugliest weenie and quickly chews and spits him back out on stage. Cal is then raised up into the air beyond the stage in his place. We then see the kids skewered by barbecue forks roasted over fire as their song continues, lamenting their choice, not realizing the consequences of being chosen. Turns out they ended up being overcooked and therefore shriveled up just like Chicken's character, so they can relate to how he feels.
It's good to be ugly after all. Wish we were ugly like you. Cause when you are ugly, they don't come and sting you and hold you out over a flame. Oh, it's good to be ugly after all.
As the cast praises Chicken for being ugly during their toe-tappingly infectious "It's Good to Be Ugly After All" jingle, the parents are shocked by how touching the play is. And even Mr. Fleur gets a little misty-eyed too, while he's up in the catwalk controlling the giant hand. However, the disabled drama teacher loses control of the giant stage hand, causing it to swing into the torch prop and igniting the curtains, just as the play reaches a climactic end too. Everyone dashes out of the auditorium, and the firemen arrive quickly to put out the auditorium fire. And Cal expresses interest in Mr. Fleur in writing her next play called The Greatest Tapeworm, Outside While Everything Settles. Appalled by the possibility, Chicken runs back into the auditorium, is quickly rescued by a fireman, then promptly stomped and extinguished like the overcooked hot dog he is. Cal reminds Chicken of what Mom said not for him to do, and Chicken passes out. We iris out to Cal saying, and that's the end of part two and the episode.
And
so that went by pretty fast, don't you think? Just a quick observation before we move on to some trivia for this episode. I did notice that Mr. Floor's outfit literally cycles through three distinct color schemes every single shot he's in. A casual viewer would spot this as a production error, but considering how consistent both the alternate outfits and the timing of their appearance are, it just feels intentional by the production team. The outfit colors cycle through three different ones, and I noted that one of them is turquoise and goldenrod with a lavender scarf. Another one is blue and red with lavender pants, and a third one is plum and fuchsia with a light yellow scarf. It's a very odd choice, but maybe it's connection to Mr. Floor's name as being flowers, and flowers are different colors. Who's to say, really? All right, moving on to trivia. This isn't the first time weenies would be the focal point of a kid's cartoon from the 90s. The Rocko's Modern Life episodes Schnitheads and SpongeBob's No Weenies Allowed would both reference the meat products heavily for their respective episode plots. It's surprisingly a common cartoon trope dating all the way back to the inception of the industry, and is featured in classics like Woody Woodpecker, but would also influence other Cartoon Network shows later on, like Regular Show, with the episode Meet Your Maker, in which evil hot dogs end up eating each other when they're covered with mustard. Another tidbit that I have for you is that Chicken mistakenly calls his drama teacher Mr. Flower on set of the Ugly Sweeney production. And as we mentioned before, even though he corrected Chicken with his French pronunciation, he was still technically correct because Mr. Fleur, or Fleur, is French for flower. And I would say it's a stretch for this trivia tidbit, but decades after David Feiss wrapped up production of Cow and Chicken, he would go on to be the storyboard artist for the 2016 animated film The Secret Life of Pets. And this film actually features a weenie factory that dogs Buddy and Duke visit, which may be a subtle nod to this episode he worked on, especially during the fantasy sequence where animated sausages of all varieties are eaten in comical fashion by them. In the fall of 2002, a Cartoon Network commercial series called Prime Cuts features the Ugly Sweeney song as a part of its musical lineup, meant to replace the Groovies commercials where we have songs paired with common Cartoon Network shows. Unfortunately, the song featured is the incomplete one from part one, which only occupies 30 seconds of the commercial while the rest of is plot leading to the end of the first half, rather than the It's Good to Be Ugly After All song one would expect. YouTuber The Commercial King has a clip of it if you want to check it out after this episode. This episode is considered one of the highest rated episodes on IMDb, with a score of 7.3 out of 10, second only to the premiere episode of the series, which features the shorts A Trip to Folsom Prison, This Bridge Not Weasel Bridge for I Am Weasel, and The Girls' Bathroom. And lastly for trivia, Some people consider the Ugly Sweeney play similar to Andrew Lloyd Webber's production of Cats, where both the Ugly Sweeney and the character Grisabella are seen as outcasts, but then later elevated to a higher status and literal height on stage, once they gain sympathy from the other characters in the play who shun them. I feel this is something quite deep to ponder about character stereotypes and how they play out in productions like this. So, with all that being said about Count Chicken's The Ugly Sweeney, I think I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 tunes. I really enjoyed this one. And look, I'm not a theater or musical guy of any type, but I simply cannot deny how enjoyable this episode is. As a Count Chicken fan, I appreciate how the music is surprisingly catchy, and how the plot of having a creative story come to life for all to see is something creatives from all walks of life and crafts can relate to. The ending was both very fitting and foreboding, which suits the overall tone of the show. Of the entire short-lived series, the majority of Cartoon Network fans remember this one more than any other episode of Count Chicken, except maybe the two banned episodes, which are the No Smoking, What a Cartoon pilot, and Buffalo Gals from Season 2, Episode 7A. Even if the concept is a bit gross on a Ren and Stimpy level, there's still definitely heart in the character's performance. The only drawback is how rushed the whole play and story felt, and some of the logic of Chicken creating his own problem in terms of like igniting a rivalry between him and Flem detracted from the episode's strengths for me. All in all, it's a celebration of the arts in a wonderfully weird way, and I couldn't love it more for that. Can't say I'll ever look at wrinkly hot dogs the same way ever again without this episode coming to mind, but hey, Count Chicken is known for weird subject matters. So here are my memories of the Ugly Sweeney, because I definitely watched this growing up as a kid in the 90s. This episode seared itself into my mind way deeper than it has any right to. The grotesque title cards, the ridiculous premise, the undeniably catchy song, It's Good to Be Ugly After All, and Chicken's crush Wee Wee all made me remember this episode 28 years later, just like I had watched it yesterday. I remember my mom being grossed out by the title card too when she saw this playing on my TV after dinner, and urged me to change the channel. But knowing my proclivity for like-minded, irreverent cartoons like Ren and Stimpy or Rocko's Modern Life, I just couldn't look away. Heck, I even danced to the song in real time as it played on my small 12-inch TV in my bedroom, and I can't remember having so much fun watching an episode of any kind of cartoon on TV since. Perhaps this episode is an example as to why I never liked acting in school plays either. The costumes and the songs are a bit of a crapshoot, and I remember not liking dressing up as a tree for a president's play I did in second grade, so unfortunately these memories are linked together as a result. Why does the Ugly Sweeney from Count Chicken matter in Cartoon Network history? Putting irreverent humor and weenie imagery aside, there's a legitimate lesson to be learned here, one similar to the Ugly Duckling. Sometimes outcasts deserve the approval of the crowd when they provide insight to a fate the popular ones cannot see coming. It's Good to Be Ugly After All can be interpreted on multiple levels, ranging from the literal, as ordinary or less attractive people don't have to experience the same pressures of popularity and stardom, or that being outside of a group of conformists can help you see what's really going on beyond the surface, and to be grateful for a silver lining keeping you from experiencing a similar negative outcome, that being a weenie roasted over a fire or subject to bullying or beratement. Such a lesson transcends the mold it is birthed into, but also a valuable one to ponder in the greater scheme of life nonetheless. While not the last food-themed Cow and Chicken episode by a long shot, it is the only one focusing on the nature of romance intertwined with theater, which I find to be the common occurrence in many TV plot lines and even in real-life adolescent experiences throughout many lives. Cal's creativity is mocked by her brother but celebrated by someone who understands the language of her vision, which resonates with how artists can see things the common man cannot. And it's worth noting that just because someone you know doesn't understand your work, that doesn't mean someone else in the world won't either. Heck, they may even love it, but you have to get it in front of many eyes to see its true worth for yourself. In summary, this episode reminds us there's something good within all of us, even if our outward appearance may dictate otherwise. So that's it for our episode review. Hope you enjoyed feasting on weenies like I did through this episode. So here's our closing question, Tuneheads, before we go. What resonates with you most regarding Cal's play? Send me an email at checkerchildhood@gmail.com, or you can even comment on Spotify or YouTube of this podcast episode. If you enjoyed what I shared with you and you would like to hear more episode reviews on the show, feel free to rate and review this podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, YouTube, or anywhere else you listen to it. And I just may share your review with our fellow listeners in a future fan letter segment that I tend to put near the end of these episodes. Don't forget to tell a friend about this podcast as well, so they too can enjoy and be informed of the various Cartoon Network topics we dive deeper into for all cartoon fans to enjoy. All right, my friends, check in next time when we put on our space helmets and head to Planet X to hang with Brack, Zorak, Moltar, and, oh yeah, I guess Space Ghost too, when we compare two shows that feel very similar but aren't under a magnifying glass, Cartoon Planet and Space Ghost Coast to Coast. What similarities and differences will we find between the two offbeat shows? You'll simply have to listen to episode 13 to find out. Thank you, fellow Toonheads, again for being here today. But I'm still grateful you showed up to share these checkered childhood memories with me. Your time is valuable, and I appreciate you taking a slice out of your day to spend learning a little bit more about Cartoon Network's checkered past. I hope, like best friends, we'll do this again real soon. Now, if you excuse me, I have some s'mores to make before this auditorium fire is entirely extinguished. I'm all out of weenies, but I might as well make the most of this opportunity and have dessert. Have a tunerific day, everyone. Later.